The Gauge Live at the NFR is brought to you by Cavenders and Bilfic Ford. We cannot forget about Rule Cloth, the Royal Crown Fraternity, and Bailey's House of Guns.
This is The Gauge with host Chance Conradu.
Are you freaking serious? It's Conrado.
This is The Gauge, and I am Chance Conrado. On this episode of the podcast, I'm on Ty's phone because it got so wild and western in round 10, we weren't able to get everything figured out. We were supposed to have the world champions, but it got real busy and real crazy, and they did this media thing. And anyway, we didn't want to bother anybody, and we wanted to get out of there, frankly, because we were really tired, and it was 11 o'clock at night. So we called it. We'll have some of the world champions from 2020 come on the show and do full episodes. There's going to be some time off, but enjoy the ones we did get to talk to. They are great listens. Kobe Lovell, Paul Eaves. It was an excellent interview. I definitely think you guys should listen to that because you'll never hear Kobe Lovell talk that much. So it's a special little thing. Of course, Jacob Edler was unbelievable. I don't think anybody would have picked him to win the world. And then we did get a chance to talk to Shane Hanji, who did win the tie-down average. And a tenth of a second cost him the world. Shad won the world by like $200. It was just an insane rodeo. The best NFR ever, in my personal opinion. And I've been to so many of them. It was unbelievable. But what everybody did... insane. Stetson Wright, Haley Kinzel, of course. I encourage everybody to go listen to all of our 10-day coverage of this NFR. We were in the arena, if you didn't know, or just to the left of the arena. And we interviewed all the round winners and some other people and just got to do a lot of really cool stuff that may never happen the exact same way again. So it was really special to capture these moments, and I certainly encourage everybody to go listen to them, and then stay tuned for some of the world champions. We'll get on the show for full-length episodes, and anybody else that we get, thanks for sticking with us, and thank you for all the white panty moments.
Thank you to our partners over at Cavenders. Cavenders has been a trusted cowboy boot and western wear outfitter for over 50 years. Discover why their loyal customers love their collections of western wear. Check them out at cavenders.com for the latest styles.
And he told me my hat looked terrible and I looked like I was Amish and I couldn't wear that no more. So he got me hooked up the other day at the trade show with this one.
Really? Mm-hmm. So was it your hat, the carpentry, the whole look was just, I build perfectly formed wagons?
You bet.
Yeah. And you're like, hey, you're talking to a world champion here. Better watch yourself.
We didn't know that at the time.
You call him now, you tell him, talking to a world champion, call me Amish one more time.
The hat might have made the difference. I ain't going to cuss him for nothing.
That's a good point. Yeah, rightfully so. Well, not only are you the world champion, 2020 world champion steer wrestler, you're also the average champion, which it's that average that got you the gold buckle. So, I mean, the 10 nights played out perfectly for you. We had you in here when you had your 3-3, which was just the fastest run of the entire rodeo was that 3-3. But, I mean, when did you realize, like, hey, I have a real shot to kind of – make something truly fantastic happen?
Well, shoot, you know, hell, I didn't want to get all riled up about any world championship race. I was here to just be Jacob Edler and Bulldog Good and leave it all in the arena, because when you go to worrying about averages and all that kind of stuff, hell, I didn't come here to be average. I came here to run at the barrier every single night and win as much money as I could, and you know, it all worked out in the end.
It did. Yeah, I mean, you put on an absolute clinic, and, I mean, I don't know, man. As far as bulldogging itself goes, as a sport, you and the crop of guys that are in right now, I think you guys made this the most exciting 10 rounds of bulldogging I think I've ever seen. I think everybody agrees. Like, it was just killer. I mean, you had great steers. The place is electric. I mean, what else are you kind of feeling right now? I mean, this is the biggest accomplishment anybody in rodeo can possibly get. It's your first time here, and you did it.
It's unreal. Before this point, if you would have seen me bulldog 8 years ago, you would have thought, no way in hell. No way in hell can that guy ever wear a gold buckle. And that was a fact. I've had to be gritty. I've had to get in with the right kind of people, ask the right kind of questions, and I've had to work my ass off every single day. And now that this has happened, it's unreal. It's unreal. I can't believe it.
Well, and if you talk to any world champions, this is what they'll say. They will tell you that the doors that open for you once you have that gold buckle are almost limitless. And you've got this personality and this thing about you that we all love. I mean, got 12 gauge ranches about bulldogging, obviously, but we just freaking love the energy that you have. The beer, the hairy American winning machine. I mean, you are a picturesque example of what I think a bulldogging world champion should be. And I cannot wait to see the doors that open for you. And also congratulations on the baby on the way. That was quite a TV moment.
Have you known
that this whole time? Or are you just waiting?
I've known for quite a while. Yeah. And it was actually my dream to announce that I was having a kid as I was getting a gold buckle. So that really put the cherry on top. And, you know, this feels great, but I can't imagine what being a dad's going to be like, but I bet it smashes this feeling right here. I am so excited for me and my fiance to bring a life into this world.
Oh, man. Well, we are so happy for you, and you're starting out. I mean, the one thing that you need for kids is money, and you got some of that coming. So.
Oh, finally. I got moved into a new tax bracket, which is the one where you actually pay taxes. I hadn't done that.
Oh, well, and it's winnings taxes, so you're going to have fun. They're going to say, Jacob, you need to go buy this, this, and this, or you got to pay Uncle Sam.
You bet.
You got a new pickup probably coming and all that, or you're going to write those checks. But do you know the sex of the baby yet?
We will find out December 17th. My fiance Mariah has an Indian friend that swears it's a girl, and on Cyber Monday she bought $500 worth of bougie girl baby clothes, I guess, but she only spent $100. So if we don't have a girl, we're going to kind of be in a bind on all these baby clothes we got around.
You're not the type who'd probably put your son in lady clothes.
No, like I ain't going to have pretty baby boy wearing that stuff. I promise you that.
Well, Jacob, we're going to let you get out there. You got some stuff to do. You're going to have to send that off. You're not going to see that sucker for a while.
Right.
But regardless, you did your job nearly flawlessly. It was a pleasure to watch it. I'm glad we got to spend some time with you this week. Glad you made time to come back in here, and congrats on the baby and all those things.
Well, I wasn't supposed to come back in here.
Yeah.
I am an endorsee for Rump Chat, and I went on Rump Chat today.
Oh, Lord.
And they lit into me for talking to the gauge. They claim that you guys are the white cotton panty of rodeo podcast.
White cotton panty. Well, it depends on who's wearing those white cotton panties, is what I would say to Rump Chats. You know, I will say that has been a one-sided battle. I guess 2020, we might have to go the other way here.
They started a war.
Well, white cotton panties, huh? Most panties are probably made out of cotton. I'm going to go to Victoria's Secret after that, Rumford, and see what we can find in white and cotton. I'm going to hang it on my goddamn wall. So, yeah, you remember that. Well, regardless, you came twice. We're super thankful that you won. Congratulations, man.
Thank you so
much. I don't
care
what kind of panties we are. You are a panty dropper tonight.
You bet. Thanks for having me on. It was fun.
You bet. Absolutely. Guys, Bilfic Ford is the number one Super Duty in the entire country. Number one. They are a family-owned and operated dealership with no bull discounts, no bull interest rates. These are some of the best rates you can get on a new Super Duty, guys. They also offer nationwide shipping, so you're not limited to that Ford dealer you might not like in your backyard. Go to BillFickFordHuntsville.com for the best deals on a new Super Duty. Go look in the contestant parking if you're here at Globe Life. You'll see more Bilfic Fords than any other brand. Big shout out to Rule Cloth. If you like hunting, fishing, back roads, family farms, ice cold beer, bonfire nights, old pickup trucks, dogs, never cats, and mud on your boots, it's because you are cut from Rule Cloth. Rule Cloth is the brand for you. This brand sets out to create quality apparel for the rural American. We even did a podcast with Mr. Brandon Bates, who is their founder. He is also a longtime PBR announcer. They set up a coupon code for you guys to use over at rulecloth.com. Use the coupon code GAGE right now for 20% off during the entire NFR and 10% off after the NFR ends. That promo code is GAGE at checkout. Go do some Christmas shopping. Support small business. How important is that right now? Go support Rule Cloth right now. All right, guys, we are back. We have got the 2020 Team Roping World Champs here. I guess, Paul, we can tell Colby here about the little bet we made that he would do all the talking. So.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear it. Start with you. What are you feeling right now?
Man, it was very emotional. There was a lot that went into this year, and a lot of people that stepped in my life this year and part of last year, and the puzzle, the way it came together, and man, is unexplainable, honestly. And for this week, the way it went, so up and down, and just to keep faith and just to keep struggling and keep going, and got to a point where there was no out. We just needed to win money, and then it started kind of coming back together. And then, you know, I told, like yesterday, I told Paul what steer we were going to draw, and we ended up drawing him. And then I went to the deal. We went to the deal last night, buckle ceremony, and then they were posting it. And heck, I was like, man, we do have a outside chance. I mean, you never know what could happen, you know. And the way it came together, and when we roped tonight, we had already talked, and it was like, you know, if we have a chance at that spot, the way the predicament was that we were in was to win the round, and if not, then just go get paid and have a good finals and start over. And it worked out. Thank the Lord.
Man, I mean, you said it. It worked out perfectly. I mean, it was a crazy, one of the craziest round 10s in team rope I think I've ever seen. I don't know. It was like everything was just kind of culminating and you guys doing what you did. I mean, you could just feel it out there. I know you guys could, but nothing probably feels like that when you're backing into the box with this. You got one way to do it. I mean, literally, I mean, Paul, and you speak on it a little bit too, but I mean, when you have one way to do it and then you freaking do it, I mean, that's just crazy. It really is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been in this spot before. I've been in a spot in the past where I'm leading the average and I need to, and I didn't do good and didn't win the world title. And then, but in this spot here to have to win three rounds in a row, the last three rounds, and it makes you feel pretty good that you can do it, and we were able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, at least in my memory, I think that was the last four rounds of team roping for you guys. You guys first night you guys came in here, I was like, dang, they are on a roll. And you guys put on the grittiest show in team roping, I swear, that I have ever seen. And it was just it was real special. I mean, for you guys to do that, and I know how much it means to you and everything
that
you
does, said. That means a lot. Thank you.
I'm just happy to hear you speak.
Man.
I know another team roper that's my brother-in-law who doesn't speak much either, but I think you might speak less than that guy. Well,
man, I didn't have much to say. I mean, it's just a up and down week, and sometimes not saying anything's better. And
yeah. Held a little swagger it. When you win the world title, especially in a place like Arlington. Never going to awesome, be able to man. Do
I
it again.
I can't express the feelings. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, I know it's Paul's second, but, man, this is big. It's huge.
It feels like first.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I told my wife last night, you know, when we went on there, it was Wesley Thorpe and Chad and Paul, and they've all three got buckles, and you compete against some guys all the time, and it's a goal. I mean, it's something that's just sets in your mind, and after you come close to one, and then it just sets there in your mind. And, I mean, all year it's been like that. I mean, the day before the NFR started, 2 days before the night, I woke up at 12:30. I never went back to sleep. You know, I couldn't sleep at night, didn't sleep good, and I don't know why. That was the only thing I could think about was having a chance at the end to win the world. And I've told Paul all year, of like, Paul, we're going to have a chance. We're going to have a chance. We're going to have a chance. And, I mean, I've said it 6 or 7 times, and strange things happen, but I set my mind on it, and I was like, I can't get off the road. This is a straight path. If something happens, then so be it. It wasn't meant to be, but I've got to do what I got. Try my hardest, work at it, and try to have the best horse I can.
Yeah, I mean, your horse did his job unbelievably. I mean, you get far in these rounds and you do see the horses start to fatigue, and we saw it in tie down tonight. I mean, half those horses look sore as heck, but I mean, that horse you were riding, he showed up for you
He did awesome, man. I've rode him for 2 years, and I've ran almost every steer on him until 2 months ago, right? Probably 2.5, maybe longer than that.
Yeah,
three longer months. Than that. But yeah. I mean, he's a workhorse. Man, he tries so hard. It's crazy. He's done so much for my kids and my wife and I. Yeah,
as a healer, all the guys that I've done good with, and, you know, Dustin Bird, Clay Smith, whoever, Colby, you get to, and you love love your partner, and you know, and they do a good job, but you get to loving those head horses. It's amazing what they can do, and they're really the cornerstone of the whole thing. And so he's no different with his horse. I mean
just like tonight, that steer come a little left and he was slower, and I knew that if I scored and I got a real good start on him, that I could just let Bartender run, and he would I just sat there and he run all the way to him. I used a short rope, made a little loop, and just where it would hit tight, and I could make the steer show up and Paul heal him. And I knew Bartender, he had to completely get back around to face, and he never weakened. And
no, he didn't, especially where you guys were at in the arena.
That's what I'm saying. And yeah. I thought that was the only chance we had, that if I would have reached or tried to rope coming across, or I just had it in my mind, have a foot race to the steer. The faster you get, the closer you get, the faster you'll be.
Absolutely. I mean, that's exactly what you did. I mean, the amount of thought that you guys put into it, it really, when you break it down like that, it makes a lot more sense why you won. I mean, just the planning
Paul and you work at it. We work at it so hard. I mean, it's just you go through the motions and you have a job to do. And, man, when it comes together, it's awesome. And I knew I could see Paul. I've headed for him so much that I could see him coming right here. I could see him right here hustling. When I stuck, I waited just a second. I seen him hustling, and I seen his mare cow. When he did, I tried to get it away, and I seen her open up, and I knew it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was a money shot for sure. You guys can probably go back and watch it time and time again. And I think you'd be hard pressed to find a single thing that didn't go perfect. Mm-hmm. I mean, from watching it here, I was just like, I mean, it's not as fast as some of the other runs that you made and what have you, but I mean, fundamentally, if you just break it down, team roping fundamentals, it was
the way it's set
perfect,
up.
Perfect. Yeah. I mean, you have somebody like the late Ricky Green would have said that you did exactly what he taught. I remember going to a Ricky Green school, and Paul, like, it was beautiful. I mean, I get excited for you guys, and
thank you.
Just unbelievable. Congratulations. You guys get to enjoy your night. Christmas is going to be good this year. Mm-hmm. But you guys, no guys more deserving. You know, where you guys started in the world, how you guys progressed through this rodeo, and hell of a good time to watch you guys.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you guys. Enjoy your evening. Enjoy Christmas.
Thank you.
Guys. Hey, thank you very much.
Yep, yes, sir. Bet. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Also, thank you to Royal Crown. Royal Crown is a fraternity and derby, as well as an open barrel race with roping events included, offering some of the industry's biggest payouts for riders, stallion shareholders, and breeders. Couple that with no annual enrollments. Look for their events in 2021, where they will be in Bryan, Texas in February. There'll be 65,000 added to that fraternity, guys, as well as their event in Rock Springs, Wyoming in August. Check out royalcrownrace.com. Again, that's royalcrownrace.com. Or find Royal Crown on Facebook for information on the stallion enrollment, entering their 2021 races, and a list of enrolled stallions. That's royalcrownrace.com. Bailey's House of Guns is a family-owned and operated business based out of Houston, Texas. These guys have supplied law enforcement throughout the state with guns and ammunition for years. They also provide great options for hunters. Benelli Shotguns, Weatherby, Christensen Arms, Smith & Wesson, Loophole Scopes, Swarovski Optics, just to name a few. They've been in business since 1970, guys. They are also a well-known sponsor of rodeo and rodeo athletes. Give them a call, 713-433-2475 for more details. Here's the great thing, guys. They can ship guns and ammo to local FFLs in your area if you are not in the Houston market. They've got lots of stock. Give Bailey's House of Guns a call today. Looks like a different cat, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Can't even see the hairdo with that, man.
Yeah, he asked me last night, like, can we go buy a cowboy hat? Right. You can go buy a cowboy hat. He's like, how much is a cowboy hat? It depends on what kind of cowboy hat you want. Yeah. He ended up borrowing one.
Yeah, it's fine.
So it worked out. Looks good, though.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Thank you. You look official now.
Yeah, he looks like he should be handing people gold buckles. Yeah. Bureaucrat.
Do you want me to hand you the gold buckle?
Yeah, sure, man.
You going to let him touch that sucker?
Here's a gold buckle.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah, now he's got to send it off, and he's not going to see it for like 9 days.
Yeah, it'll be a while.
You know how that goes.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Dude, you got your average buckle.
Yeah, man, it's a sweet consolation prize. I mean, I say that, but, you know, the end goal was a gold buckle, but sure gave him hell, so can't be too upset about that.
I mean, you were the most consistent guy out there. You put on quite the clinic, I think, for consistency.
No,
did he set the record for –
Actually,
for quickest average?
I've got the record for the quickest average in 2013. Dead. I was 80.1, and then I think I was 83.1 here.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, and so the longest I went this week was 10.2, and I was still 3 seconds off my old record. So it was a great 10 days, man. If you'd have told me, hey, you're gonna win the average, you're gonna win. I don't even know how much money I won, 100 and something thousand.
A lot.
Yeah, I mean, a lot. I just said, I'll take it.
Yeah.
He had such a commanding lead, man. Such a commanding lead. Nobody even, the outside world didn't even think there was no way that somebody else could win it. So with me and Marty making it a race,
I don't
know
if you saw how close.
$230 is what I heard.
I think it was, it even less than that?
I think it was less.
Yeah. It was like 130 bucks.
Yeah, I knew that the way it was set up, if I won fourth or better in the round, and then they didn't, but all it come down to, I think, which they said, you know, if I was 7.9 instead of 8 flat, they said I'd have won the world. So that's 2 years in a row, me being a tenth of a second behind winning a world title. So that's a little hard to swallow. But
what did you say your average record was?
80.1.
All right, you got an 83.1 this
83.1. So yeah, I was still 3 seconds off my average record. Yeah. But it's a little different
setup.
Yeah, it's a little different setup. A foot longer barrier. So I mean,
kind of makes sense.
Yeah, from that standpoint. It's supposed to. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it is unbelievable that he had about the worst luck a guy could have at a finals.
Yeah,
I've never seen anything like that.
I mean, he got monumental. I mean, that was, like I said, nobody on any, you know, broadcast station or Cowboy Channel, nobody gave any of us a chance, which rightfully so. I mean, he had a great year leading up to this, but just to say that we went down fighting is something, you know, at the end of the day.
It was unbelievable, and I think the most fun with the team roping was playing with the math, playing with the numbers, playing with the draw and everything to see how it could happen. Yeah. And then, you know, the Marty might be the most crazy thing because he could have blown Chad out of the water.
Yeah, if he flanks that calf, he wouldn't
flanked
go
like
vocal.
Four of those calves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine being him right now. But
he's probably sick, but
yeah. Even still, I mean, it just showed how gritty.
Does it show how much money I won total or no?
I'm trying to find that.
Oh, okay.
I got you.
I don't know if it will though.
195.
That was probably for the year though.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know how much you won for the.
So I only had
Ty'll find it.
Yeah, I only had 52,000 coming into here.
Basically.
So.
Yeah, I mean that's insane. That's a.
You won 143 grand on the NFR alone.
For the 10 days, 143. Sweet.
That doesn't suck at all.
No, that'll work for sure.
Yeah, that'll carry you through until they start getting rodeos back. Because you're probably going to be home for a while.
Yeah, dude, we'll be cooking crawfish before you know it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We'll be slinging crawfish. No, but...
Plug your truck.
Yeah, there you go. It's a great boost. You know, that horse, man, Logan Bird, he owns him in Canada. I've won 3 out of my 4 Canadian titles on that horse. I rode him at the 2015 NFR. It didn't go great. I didn't have a horse, dude. 2 weeks ago before the NFR, what I thought I was going to ride, I went to Northside to the Pro Rodeo they had, and she didn't work at all. And I was literally on foot, and I was at just square one, didn't know what to ride. I was calling my buddies.
He called you? You called
him? I called him.
Yeah.
He was in Arizona, and I mean, like, with everything being kind of unknown as far as the setup and the barrier and the calves, I thought, man, I know that horse like the back of my hand. I've rode him so many times. I won so much money on him. So I was just a no-brainer for me to start on him and ride him and to end up being an average champion on him, man. It means a lot to them guys up there and the Bird family. I'm so grateful that they let me ride him.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that adds a whole nother kind of layer to the story because you didn't talk much about that at all. And
yeah, no, nobody really knew. You know, it was a lot of demons I was fighting because I wanted to ride the full sister to the horse that I lost this January. I wanted to ride Bam's sister. And at the end of the day, I mean, her strong suit is not buildings. Her strong suit's not indoor arenas.
Right.
And I realized that, I mean, stupid of me to realize that 2 weeks before the NFR, but I'm glad I did it then and not the first round, you know? And that was a big, big change. And then so I got him down to the house for a couple weeks and kind of roped on him just once or twice and kind of remembered his buttons and he remembered me, and man, it was a great week.
Oh man, it was so fun to watch, and like I said, play with the numbers. I mean, a guy comes in with a lead like that,
you're not supposed to have a chance coming.
You're not
from
supposed 10th. To, and for you, no. for you to do what you did, and then, you know, pretty picture perfect. I mean,
no, I appreciate it. No, it really, at the end of the day, you know, right now I'm upset that I didn't want to go Buffalo, because at the end of the day, that's what we all dream for, and it's so cliche that one's not enough, but man, it's so true. And anyways, at the end of the day, when I go back and watch these runs of the house when we DBR'd it, you know, I'll probably go back and go, man, I don't know what more I could have done, you know, as far as the overall picture. I felt like I roped as good as I could, and a couple times probably could have took a few more chances, maybe wrap Mahui's, but who knows? Cavs getting up, then you're out of the average, and you're back to square one, you know?
Well, I mean, absolutely. It's and there's factors, right? Like, that you never even know. I mean, the difference between 7.9 and 8.0 is a guy with a flag.
Yeah, exactly. In reality,
especially
exactly.
with that run you put on.
Yeah, who knows,
so,
man.
There's that element of it that's out of your control.
Yeah,
for what was in your control? Perfect.
No, yeah, you know, and that at the end of the day, when we come up here and I was nervous about the draw, and I'm like, you know what, I can't control the draw. They draw me a calf, then I think I can show out on, I'm going to take advantage of it. And, you know, you can't control most of the things in this sport, and the ones that you can control, that's why you've got to really be on top of your game, and the ones that you can control, you take care of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the things you can control, you showed, I mean, winning an average, roping the neck.
Yeah,
and keeping them tied down.
Yep.
I mean, that's what a guy can control, and not breaking the barrier. Exactly. Obviously. But so for that, I mean, so well deserved. Super stoked. If I was going to pick somebody, I'd want you to do it. So
I appreciate it, Chance.
Here with me, yep. And look forward to getting some of that crawfish.
Too. Yeah, man. We need to link up during crawfish season. We'll swing by the studio and drop y'all off a couple pounds. See if y'all like it.
That'd be good.
Okay, man.
All right.
Thank y'all.
Yep. Absolutely.
Thanks, brother. Buddy. Yes, sir.
This has been The Gauge, hosted by me, Chance Conrado, produced and edited by our guy, Ty Yeager. Shout out to the executive producers, Dustin Pointer and Cody Denton. Marketing and content produced by Riley Chone. Our theme song is by Shay Ashire and the Night Howlers. Make sure to rate and review this podcast, as well as follow The Gauge on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to The Gauge wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you guys next time.